Yeah. Awesome. Bring it on.
So how does it make you,
feel?
Yeah.
Welcome to Three Men and a Feeling. I'm here with Michael and Andrew, and we're going to look today at surprise, and I'm a bit surprised at introducing this, so I'll throw first to Michael.
Oh, really?
Thank
now
you.
Now I'm surprised.
Of course. Mm. Here we go.
Mm. That's a positive word for me. Shock may be a more negative connotation, but for me, a surprise is when something happens you hadn't bargained on and you like it. Most of the time, I can't really think of a moment where I've gone, oh, that's a surprise, and gone, but I wish it hadn't happened. So for me, surprise is a positive aspect to life.
It's interesting you say that, Michael, because people are very divided about the emotion of surprise.
Oh, really?
Some people love surprises, other people can't stand surprises. And I've been thinking about this for a long time. Why is it so vehemently? I mean, surprise is a very powerful emotion because, of course, lots of other emotions you can kind of go, oh, yeah, I'm feeling a bit like the way I'm, you know, a bit irritable today or whatever it might be. With surprise, it's all encompassing. So you go, oh, you know, so what initially happens when you're surprised is you get almost like a fear response. So there's something that's unusual, you're astonished or you're perturbed by something.
Right.
And so the initial response is one that resembles that sort of startle response of freeze and fear.
Oh, okay.
Then, of course, you have to reinterpret whatever the circumstance is, and then you get a rush of dopamine. Now, my thinking, and I don't really have a lot of evidence for this, John, you might have some, is that some people tune more into the rush of the adrenaline and the fear, and others into the dopamine. So some people really like a surprise, and they're the dopamine people.
Mm.
The adrenaline people are the people who are going to go, I hate a surprise, it's making me scared, do you know?
I think that is determined by very early life experiences, and whether the surprise has been a warm and fuzzy surprise or one that's been very cold and frightening. And I think, Andrew, that the different physiological responses in the brain, neurotransmitter stuff that goes on, I think it's determined by what's happened very early on in life.
Well, hang on, wait a minute, you two nerds. I want to know something about this. You've just sort of classified everything based on either past experience or, you know, the neurotransmitters that are released in the brain. Doesn't it also rely on the nature of the surprise? You haven't talked about that.
Well,
I mean, if someone jumps out at you and goes, ha, like that, of course I'm going to freak out and I'll get that adrenaline rush.
Yes, but do you identify it immediately as harmful or not? And in that
way. Well, if someone does it that way, that's my argument, though, that the nature of the surprise is going to govern some of the neurotransmitters that are going to be released, surely. Or are you saying it's so quick in my brain, it doesn't matter whether it's a beautiful surprise or not? If someone goes like that at me and makes a horror voice and sound and jumps at me, yes, I'm going to go all adrenaline and fight or flight. But if someone goes, we're having a baby, that's a beautiful surprise.
Yes.
So are you still saying that, in fact, adrenaline gets released as if I want to run away from it when someone says, we're having a baby?
Well, you freeze in that moment because it's such a unexpected bit of news, of course.
Yeah.
And so I think there is a dividing line for all of us where either the world is seen as threatening and so unexpected events can basically be harmful, or whether the world is full of awe and wonder.
So no matter what that surprise is, that's how you see it.
That's right.
What I've just argued there is falling completely on deaf ears then.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Pointless.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the lens through which you see life is how the environment is represented to you in that moment.
Right.
So if you are fearful and there is a surprise, Andrew's right, you will freeze, and the first interpretation is this will harm. And then you have to override that interpretation. Now, it takes a nanosecond, but it has that sort of sequence.
So somebody's at a rock concert and the singer calls you up on stage to accompany them.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, this would be an absolute golden opportunity, and for others, it would be absolutely terrifying, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And it's part of that interpretation. Is this a time of awe and wonder, or is this a time of threat where I'll be humiliated by, you know, tens of thousands of people? And so that then comes back to our childhood experiences of this, and basically do we really build that sense of awe and wonder in childhood. Because clearly, if you see the world as full of possibility, of full of wondrous things, you know, you're curious about how people work, that's a good sign of mental health. When you see people as just threatening and intrusive upon you, that's a sign you're closing your world down. You're trying to keep things safe, but it's a sign that you're probably not as mentally healthy as you could be.
Isn't it reasonable, though, that at some stages you do feel like you don't want people intruding upon your world, and other times you're perfectly willing to let the world in?
Yes, and there are many reasons for this. One might be that you're just tired.
Yeah.
So it's just a physiological thing. It could be that you've got a head cold and you're just, things are not running the way they should be running for you or the way you would like them to be running for you. So a surprise in that instance will not be welcomed as much as a surprise if you are joyous.
So now you've got me riled up again, because when I put forward an argument that the nature of the surprise might have something to do with the way you react, you've just both poo-pooed that and said, that's not right. But if I have a head cold, I get off scot-free. So it doesn't matter. If someone says to me, we're having a baby and I've got a head cold, that's okay. I can react any way I like because I've been ameliorated in my reaction.
Well, we know that, Michael. We know that. In a sense, we even know that if we surprise someone and they're sad, we know that they will respond in a particular way. That's why we know those people well.
Right, okay.
And so surprises grab our attention. And then we watch closely as others, if we surprise them, we watch closely to see how they react to that surprise. And it is a reaction. And then we see them move from a reaction into an action.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually put it in perspective. Some people may want to hide their surprise. I wasn't surprised by that.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, you know they were. How do we gather that? We look at an expression. You can mask most things, but what you can't mask is the eye reaction and face reactions to surprise. You can't do that. And that's why we wear masks, so that in fact we don't indicate that we are surprised by that.
Back to an earlier point on this then. If there isn't enough surprise, and I still think there's good ones and bad ones, but if there's not enough surprises that come with a pleasant result in childhood, that sense of discovery, that sense of delight that comes with something you never knew existed suddenly being brought into existence because it's true and you just hadn't been exposed to it, that's a surprise. If we don't get enough of those in childhood, does that mean we're ill-prepared for them later in life?
Yes, I think that's true. So we do kind of try and control our life. So one is a pathway towards perfectionism, really, where you try to basically order everything in your life and control it and basically have it as surprise-free as possible. And there are people out there that try and do that and are happiest under those conditions. But their world is fairly static. They're not going to, you know, grow in terms of being able to explore new avenues or go over the horizon and check things out. So,
but if they feel safe within that world, then as long as they don't bring other people along with them who don't want to be there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we do play games with surprise because we judge a person's intellect by their lack of surprise about a particular thing or whatever it might be.
How do you mean?
Well, you say, I knew that. I wasn't surprised by that. And so over time, we gauge that we can't surprise a person with something because we think they know that. And it's nice to see children play with those sorts of things as well.
So are you saying too that even as adults, away from that child's perception of all that, that if we can't surprise someone, do we then feel perhaps that we're lacking in a bond with that person because we can't delight them or we can't take them unawares? Because isn't that one of the strengths of a healthy friendship, is that there's things that happen that no one's expecting? Is that an aspect of a healthy relationship?
I agree entirely.
Yeah. So maybe you would start pulling away from that person if they didn't act surprised or they just said, I already knew that. There's no need to tell me that.
Yes. And we know in the end with some people, we just don't make the effort to surprise them.
Because there's no point.
There's no point. And so these are the games that we play in relationships. They actually define who we are in a feeling sense.
Most of us are drawn to surprise. And in fact, we have festivals of it. We call them comedy festivals. And so a good joke, of course, always has a surprise element, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're not expecting there's a twist in the tale or an absurdity. And that's so it's intricately involved in humour and laughter. And so, again, the richness of life is the ability to take a surprise and enjoy it rather than to basically close it down and see it as a threat.
Yeah. I could not see a world where surprise didn't play a role because, gee, that world would be boring and so predictable. Safe, but unlivable. And on that bombshell, Andrew Fuller, John Hendry, it's been a lovely surprise to have you along. Not really, because we did invite you in, but look, you continue to even shock me occasionally. So thank you. 3 men and a feeling.
Surprising conversation.
I knew you'd say that.
Yeah.